socialite murdered in ghetto apartment. Elizabeth Cranesworth, daughter of Ellis Cranesworth of Cranesworth Industries, found murdered in a Bronx apartment on Boston Road. The murder is thought to be drug-related. The crime-ridden area is known for prostitution and drug dealing. The family has refused to comment on their daughter's murder, and the police have been evasive about the crime. There are no suspects at this time, and the matter is still under investigation. The question is, what was Elizabeth Cranesworth doing there? Ellis threw the newspaper on the table and walked over to the window. He felt cold, cold as the snow-covered lawn. He stared out into the open sea, fist clenched. He turned and started for Elizabeth's room and stopped. Ellis pushed a large portrait up slightly, opened the safe, and took out a small box. He looked at it and started to put it back into the safe. Instead, he closed the safe, walked over to the table, and picked up the phone.
Ellis Cranesworth, I would like to speak to the mayor, please.
Ellis paced back and forth until he heard the mayor's voice.
Ellis?
I need to see you, Bob, here at our summer place. It's important.
Just a moment, please.
The mayor checked his calendar.
Tomorrow morning, first thing.
Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome. See you tomorrow morning.
Ellis returned the box to the safe and made another phone call. The following morning, fog hung heavily over the island, obscuring it from the mainland a mile away. At sunrise, there wasn't a hint of the fog clearing, and this gave Margaret reason to believe that her fear of the unpleasant task ahead was unnecessary. March was its true self, 5 inches of snow over the weekend. Now fog and a high wind made ghost-like figures in the mists. Their lives were the same as the weather. Confused, bitter, and uncertain.
Why couldn't Ellis leave things alone? Why did he have to call Bob?
It is over. Beth is dead. Murdered.
But no, he had to call the mayor, and now he is on his way to our home. I'll have no part of it. For me, it's over. My baby Beth is gone, and I'm not leaving this room.
Margaret.
Margaret didn't answer. She sat at the window, looking towards the front lawn.
Annie?
Ellis put his hands on her shoulders. Her body rigid, she wanted to escape his grasp. But the years of love and devotion quelled her movement. She took a deep breath and answered,
Yes,
barely above a whisper.
I understand your feelings, but I have to do this,
Ellis said.
Call it off while there's still time. I have never gone against your will, you know that, but this is wrong. This thing is taking over our lives. Look at you.
I resent that, and I couldn't stop it even if I wanted to. They're on their way.
You're lying to me. They can't fly in this kind of weather, Margaret said.
The weather was clear in New York when they took off, and the forecast is that the weather will be clear out here by the time they arrive.
My God, have you bought the Weather Bureau just like you buy everything else?
Damn it, that's not fair. I'm as hurt as you are about Beth's murder, but am I climbing all over your back?
Ellis turned and walked towards the other window.
I've had just about as much as I can take of your private grief.
Margaret lowered her head and looked away.
What about my pain? Don't you think I hurt? Or is it that I can only use money to satisfy your needs?
What in heaven's name do you mean by that?
She said.
Just this. It's all right when I spend money on the things you want. Exotic flowers for the botanical gardens. Private seats at Juilliard. Anything that you consider worthwhile.
Ellis looked Margaret in the eye. It was as if he was looking through her.
Well, this time I'm going to use money, position, power, anything I can think of to find this bastard.
Margaret held her ground.
What in the hell are you talking about? I'm talking about our daughter resting in peace. I'm talking about the newspapers and all of those reporters.
Ellis's shoulders slumped a little.
They implied that our daughter was a terrible person. I just wanted to stop, and I want you to stop shouting at me,
Margaret said.
Don't act as if you don't know what I mean, and I'm not shouting.
Ellis hesitated a moment, and for a moment he looked like a little boy.
I guess your family will say that if I hadn't spoiled her, let her have her way, she'd still be alive?
What a horrible thing to say at a time like this. My family adores you.
It's you who has the problem. No one is blaming you.
Yes, they are. Old money is quiet money. Never mind what I have achieved.
That's ridiculous, Margaret said.
No, it isn't. It's that old world attitude again. For God's sake, Margaret, we're living on a private enclave with two families on it. Don't make waves. Don't make a spectacle of yourself.
Ellis extended his arms toward Margaret, gesturing his point.
If I listened to them, I would accept Beth's murder as one of today's tragedies, a product of our times.
Sorry, Margaret.
Beth was our daughter, and that's not good enough.
Have you heard anything I said? Have you forgotten the newspapers and all of their lies, saying that our daughter was an addict?
Margaret cried. Margaret, I don't want to upset you. You've had a hard time with this. Let me handle this and things will be fine. I'm worried about you.
Margaret eased out of Alice's arms.
You say you're worried about me. You better take a good look at yourself.
Quiet. What's that?
Alice walked over to the window and looked out towards the mainland. The sound of a helicopter in the distance, coughing like an old truck, echoed across the island.